Hey everybody, Stefan here, host of the Farmers Market Podcast. First and foremost, I want to apologize for my audio in the next episode. I was in the process of changing locations of my kind of studio setup, and I didn't realize that I had some echoey sounds inside of the room that I was in. So I went from the cabin to the barn, and I have since upgraded the little setup, and so therefore it's a better audio quality. But I just wanted to let you know that my guest, she's phenomenal. She's great. Her audio is perfect, but my audio sounds like I'm in some kind of concert hall or something. But anyway, forgive me, first of all, but I want to let you know this next episode is truly a blessing for me to be able to talk to this particular farm owner. She is farming in her 70s, and it's proof positive that you're as only as old as you feel, and that farming really brings out the youth in you, if that makes any sense. And if you're a farmer or if you're a small business owner, you would totally understand that. Think about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, he didn't get started until he was way, way later in life. So anyway, proof positive, you don't have to be young to farm, and you're only as old as you feel. You know, I am always looking to improve the show, and just recently, I put a poll out on Facebook to see if you guys wanted to hear more from farmers, or if you wanted information regarding farming and how you can better your gardens in your backyard, or maybe you're a farmer and you just want some tidbits. I learn a lot from the people on Facebook. Some of the groups that I have followed and been a part of, they have enlightened me, and they have given me more knowledge just off of their own experiences than I could ever have asked for. There are little tricks and little techniques that have proven to work for me because somebody shared it on Facebook. So I want to know from you if you can leave a comment and let me know, do you want to hear more? Or maybe we'll mix it up. Maybe we'll do both. Maybe we'll have some farmers, and then they'll give a little tip or trick, and then I'll add some more that I've found on Facebook and that I have utilized. One thing I will say is on the next episode, we're going to have Ray Tyler from Rose Creek Farms, and he has got a wealth of information, but there's some information that I'm going to talk a little bit about on the next episode regarding soil blocking and regarding when you're doing your seeds, whether or not to use trays, whether or not to do soil blocks. And if you're not familiar with either one of those, don't worry. It's not that big a deal. But I have used several different quote-unquote mixtures in terms of starting seeds, and I'll tell you what's worked for me, and maybe that'll help you when you're starting your own little backyard garden or your own farm. And I know everybody's got their own secret recipes. Some people buy pre-mixed stuff, but what I have found is, well, you know what? I'm just going to wait until the next episode. So spring has sprung here in the state of South Carolina. I know in the upstate, we are now in 70 degree temperatures. We had a few days of 30 degree temperatures. I know it's spring when the carpenter bees start flying around, because they don't come out during the cold weather. It just doesn't happen. But when spring is here, you will see them a lot on our piece of property and our little farm. So guys, wherever you are, if you would like to be a guest on the show, I'm opening this up to both small businesses and farmers alike, and we can all learn a little bit from each other. So thanks again for supporting the Farmers Market Podcast. Keep listening, keep sharing, and let me know what you think about the show. Leave a comment. Each and every comment will get a reply from me. Again, thanks a bunch, and enjoy this next episode of the Farmers Market Podcast.
Get ready for this.
Wow, I am blown away by the response I've been getting on Facebook.
Welcome to a brand new episode of
the Upstate's Farmers Market Podcast.
The following program is for adult audiences only.
You are listening to...
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me on the Farmers Market Podcast.
Relax and enjoy.
We are one of the few growing farms in the United States.
Hi, this is Chris Thurman from BioWay Farm.
Hi, this is Kristen with Earth and Organics.
Hi, this is Mark Jones from Cedar Falls Farm.
Thanks for listening.
And now your host.
Great day, everybody. My name is Stefan, and you're listening to the Farmers Market Podcast, the show that talks to farmers, homesteaders, small business owners, and much, much more. We keep it fresh, and we keep it local. Here we talk about all things farmers market related.
Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, YouTube, and become a supporter of SEA Farms. It's the home base for My Farm Online and the Farmers Market Podcast. Please share with all your friends on Facebook and across the social universe, and let me know if there's a local farmer that you would like to hear on the show. Now, leave a comment below and let us know what you thought of the show. Now, it's a real treat to have this special guest on today. Now, today's guest, she started her farm back in 2003 with just 5 alpacas. Now, you didn't hear this, but it took me a while to figure out how to say alpacas without stumbling. She and her husband own 28 acres of land near Townville, South Carolina. Both are retired and still farming in their 70s and 80s. Welcome to the show, Gloria Williams of Lucky Acre Farms.
Thank you for having me. This is a great honor for me to be able to do this, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Now, you guys, you can find Gloria and her husband, Joe, and Lucky Acre Farms at luckyacrefarms.com and on Facebook as well. Now, tell me, Gloria, what is Lucky Acre Farms?
We're a small family farm in Townville, South Carolina, as you said, that raises primarily alpacas and miniature silky fainting goats. We also have 3 equines and some chickens for eggs.
Now, how did you guys come up with the name Lucky Acre Farms? I always ask folks, you know, about the name of their farm, because usually there's some tie-in to something. How did you guys come up with the name?
Well, when we moved here in 1996, we lived in our camper for 2 years while we were tearing down an old homestead that was here and building our house. And we hadn't been here very long, and a little puppy came to us that was a stray, and we named him Lucky. Well, we just absolutely loved him, and he was just the best little dog that we ever had. And we decided that we would name our farm Lucky Acres after our dog, Lucky.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, you guys have had the farm for a while now. When you guys actually started what year?
In 2003 is when we actually got the animals.
So, and before that, what did you guys do prior to farming?
I was a medical records secretary, and before we moved here, my husband worked for New York State, and when he retired, we moved to our property here in South Carolina 2 days later.
And did you guys always have a dream to own a farm?
Well, actually, no, we didn't. This was just kind of by accident that we found this property and loved it, loved South Carolina, and knew we wanted to do something with it. So that's how it came about.
So you guys are both natives to the northern part of the U.S., correct?
Yes, the Adirondack Park.
Did you guys always start with alpacas? And tell me, I don't know that much about alpacas. Now, you've been with them for, what, 15, 16 years?
Yes, we've had the alpacas for about 16 years. Yes, that's correct.
I know nothing about alpacas. What is it? Where does it come from? What family is it in? Is it in the goat family? Right. I don't even know.
They're members of the camel family, and they originated in the Andes Mountains and have been in the United States now, I guess somewhere around 30 years. It was about 20 when we first started. They are members of the camel family, as are llamas, guanacas, vicuñas. They average to be 150 pounds, and we have the kind that is Wakaya. There's also a kind that is Suri. And we raise them for their fleece, which would be comparable to wool, and I use that to get the yarn that we use for both resell and for making things to sell in my gift shop.
Now is our, okay. So now I do remember, and I think I mentioned this on our pre-show call. I do remember when I was working in the fragrance industry, we went to the America's Mart in Atlanta, right there off of, I think it's Peachtree Boulevard. And I remember there were several companies that's what they focused on, was the alpaca hair to be used in different women's apparel. So, well, what is it about their hair that is really special?
Well, it is warmer than wool. It's also very lightweight, and has no lanolin in it, so it doesn't feel scratchy or itchy on your skin when you wear it.
It's smooth. It's kind of smooth to the touch.
It is. It is. It wicks very well if you're wearing socks and your feet sweat, but it's also water resistant. It takes a long time for it to soak up if you're wearing it. So it's wonderful fabric to have next to your skin.
Now, okay, well, tell me, did you always know about alpacas? What did you do prior to farming?
Oh, no. I worked in medical records, and my husband worked for New York State. And when he retired, 2 days later, we moved to South Carolina.
Well, now, I'll have to ask this, because you've been farming for quite a while, and you said when we retire, and then you basically went into full-fledged farming, because there's no retirement once you become a farmer. It's never-ending. There's always work to be done. So tell me how you guys are enjoying retirement when you know you've got things to do on the farm.
Well, this is my theory on retirement. I would not be at all happy if I retired and sat in a chair and watched TV. That's just not something that I'm wanting to do. I want to keep busy. I believe that a body is happier if they're busy. It's not a chore, quote unquote, if you love what you're doing. And we do love the animals that we have. I like taking care of them. And I especially like doing agritourism, where I can invite people to my farm and hopefully they enjoy, seeing what we have. So,
And let me ask you about the agritourism, because you mentioned that earlier when we were talking before the show, and you said that is a big part of what you guys do. Explain a little bit about your farm. How is it set up, and then how you work the agritourism in there? Because there's a lot of people that love to go to farms. They don't want to own it because they know it's a lot of work, but they don't mind going and visiting. So explain kind of how the revenue model, if you want to call it that, or how you guys have kind of diversified what you do on the farm to help kind of make it all work.
Well, I guess I can kind of describe the way it was. I like to have people call and make an appointment simply because I don't want someone to come, driving up
right.
my driveway and pulling up into the yard and not find me home. Now, we're almost always here. Yes, that's absolutely true. But, of course, occasionally an appointment or something like that. So we wouldn't be. So I prefer that people call ahead.
Or they can go on the website and go through the contact form.
Right. Exactly. And when you've gotten here, I'll say, well, would you like to visit the animals? And, of course, almost everyone says yes. Although occasionally people will say, no, I just want to go to the gift shop.
Right.
But ordinarily what we do is, and it's often children, which we encourage, of course.
Well, the alpacas are a different kind of animal altogether, so they're just unique to look at.
Right. So we go into the alpaca pasture and stay with them as long as the guests want to. Then we usually visit the goats. My goats are very friendly, so they come up to get animal crackers and attention. And then if people want to, we'll walk down and visit the equines. Not everyone wants to walk down to their pasture, and that's okay too. We also do birthday parties at the farm. If it's usually children's birthday parties, if anyone is interested. Let's see what else. We visit the gift shop. We have all kinds of things for sale in the gift shop, from $3 items up to $250 items.
So you guys have a ton of things going on, and forgive me, because I know somebody's going to ask, how old are you guys? Do you mind sharing that with our listening audience?
Oh, I don't mind at all. At my last birthday, I was 71, and in a few days, my husband will be 85.
So you guys are doing a ton of stuff. So you have alpacas, you have goats, you have chickens. I think you said you had some produce that you guys do on occasion, and then you have a gift shop.
We do. In the season, we have produce, yes.
And then you said you had equine. What is that? What is that part of the farm?
One horse and two donkeys.
Oh, okay. I see. So you guys are managing. I mean, you don't have a team of people, do you? It's just you two, right?
Oh, no. It's just, our children will help out. My children, my son and his family will help us if we need something. But day to day, it's just the two of us, correct?
Now, did what you did prior to owning the farm, did it prepare you for what you were going to experience on the farm in any way?
No, I don't think so. We really didn't, in our previous life, didn't have anything to do with farming. We lived in the country, but
right.
Always lived in the country. Had a vegetable garden and pets, that kind of thing, but we did not have livestock.
And what about South Carolina attracted you and your husband?
Well, I think two things. First of all, the people here are absolutely wonderful. Accepted us as though we had been here our whole lives. And the climate. We like the four seasons, but we also like the mildness of the winters as well.
Right. And the summers are hot, but they're not, because we are kind of up in the foothills. We get a lot of that cross kind of wind. So we don't get extreme
right.
summer temperatures like you would, let's say, if you went farther down in South Carolina, in the Columbia, and even down into Charleston. I mean, Charleston is a little different because you got the ocean, but you got that wind or however those currents work. But anyway, it's different than if you're in Columbia, because I used to live in Columbia, and it can get sweltering, and there's no escape from it. I mean, you're stuck.
Well, I think one of the things that makes this area where we are particularly climate friendly is Hartwell Lake.
Ah, that's right. That's right. So you've got the agritourism going, and a lot of small farms, when they're starting out, they think produce, they think animals, and then the agritourism is something they add on later after they've kind of developed their farm. But did you always have that in mind as far as the agritourism component?
No, not really. We did that on a very limited basis until I retired. And after I retired and was here almost all of the time, it was much easier to bring that on board.
And you like that? I from just talking.
Oh, I love it.
and so you have the alpacas. And I'm not even sure if I'm saying that right. I don't say alpacas very often, but you have the alpacas, and then you've got the hair as far as when you're doing the shearing and. Is it called, what's the season when you go do that? I guess it's one time a year?
Yes, it is. We shear our alpacas in the early spring. This year, our date is April 16th.
Oh, it's just around the corner. So it's going to happen pretty
mm-hmm.
soon. See, I don't know that much about that type of livestock. I really am a novice when it comes to animals. And I think people have heard my goat story, but my goat story is not one to be repeated, because it's just, it did not end well. And we realized we were not ready for goats. It had a tragic ending, and sometimes that happens. But so we weren't ready for it. We have chickens and we have rabbits. I can handle those guys. We've had horses before, but then we've slowly moved them off. I love horses. I love looking at them. I'm not a big fan of owning them. So now, for our listeners who are listening and they are interested in coming out to Lucky Acre Farms, or they want to purchase some of your products and go into your gift shop, what kind of offer do you have for our listeners today?
Well, I do have a special offer on our yarn. If you buy three skeins of yarn, you will get the fourth one free. If you mention listening to the Farmers Market podcast.
Awesome. And how can they take advantage of the offer? Do they need to show up at the farm and come to the gift shop, or how do you go about doing that?
It's the best way to do that. Then you can pick out what it is that you want.
Wow. That's awesome. I know our listeners, they're going to take advantage of that. And I'm sure they're going to contact you and go to your website. Now, I always do this with our guests. I try to find out a little bit more about who you are as a person and some of the things that make you tick. Can you share with our listeners one or two things that you've learned about life that you would like to share? Maybe it was a lesson you learned after a challenge or a hardship about running your business, or maybe something life threw at you and there's just a great takeaway. Can you share that with our listeners?
Well, I guess I'm not sure if this is exactly what you're looking for, but agriculture is a wonderful thing. It's not for everyone, of course, but if we don't get young people interested in agriculture to continue on, we're in really bad shape. And I love to show everyone around our farm, but particularly young people. And if we can just instill one little idea in their head, that's a wonderful thing. My grandparents were very proud of what they had, a small, tiny farm. And I'm very proud of what we have. Farming isn't for everyone, but it's a wonderful way of life.
And what would you say to somebody that is young? I mean, you're in your 70s and your husband's in his 80s and you guys are farming. What do you say to somebody who's young or somebody that says that, you know, you can't really farm if you're over the age of 50 because it's just too hard? What would you say to them?
For me, I think being busy is being happy. If I didn't have something to do, I wouldn't want to get up in the morning. And taking care of my animals and my farm gives me a lot of pleasure.
And if you were talking to somebody about the same age, or even if somebody was older, what would you say to them if they say, you know what, I just can't do it? What would you say, or are there any words of encouragement you could provide that would allow them to say, you know what, maybe you could if you just thought about it in this way?
Well, I think everyone needs to do what they're physically capable of as much as they want to. And if there's something that they can't, then you hire someone to do it for you. We have had to make changes in the way we do things and can't do as much as we used to, but I'm not willing to stop. I'm still going to do what I can because it makes me happy.
Awesome. Well, Gloria, I want to thank you. Now tell Joe we said hello, and I want to thank you for sharing Lucky Acre Farms with us today.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Now, everybody, be sure to go and check them out online and share this episode with everybody you know. Your support as a listener is key, and most importantly, support your local farms and farmers. Until the next time, my name is Stefan, and you've been listening to the Farmers Market Podcast. Keep it fresh, keep it local.